The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Just so. Every good tree bears good fruit, and a rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So, by their fruits, you will know them." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, the Gospel is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount. It's pure gold. But we're going to take a look at the first reading today from the book of Genesis, because the first reading is one of the most important readings in the entire Bible, because it tells the story of the covenant that God made with Abraham. Now, every other covenant that God ever makes for the rest of the Bible has its roots in the details right here in this first reading. And let's just jog our memory, shall we? Just remember what a covenant is. I always thought the best way to understand what a covenant is to contrast it with a contract. A contract is drawn up on human authority. A covenant is drawn up on God's authority. You don't like the terms? Too bad. No negotiation. Take it or leave it. A contract is an exchange of things. A covenant is an exchange of persons. In a contract, you say, "That's yours and this is mine." But in a covenant, you say, "I'm yours and you're mine." So the covenant that God makes with Abraham here, every other covenant that you'll hear in the Bible, this is the covenant that God makes with Moses on Sinai. Even the covenant that Jesus makes in his own blood on Calvary, it draws its details, it draws from the roots here in this first reading. And it's a strange little story, because it describes Abraham taking these poor animals, you know, a three-year-old ram and a heifer and a she-goat and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he chops the animals in half. Poor little animals. Why did Abraham chop the animals in half? Well, strange to us, but very familiar to Abraham, because in Abraham's time, in the ancient Near East, this is how tribes entered into agreements. They take an animal, chop the animal in half. And then the two leaders of the two tribes would walk between the two halves of the poor dead animal as if to say, "If I break this agreement, may I become like this animal." But in the first reading, if you paid attention, Abraham doesn't walk through the two halves of all the deceased animals. Only God passes through the halves of the animals with the message, God's covenant is unilateral. It's a complete, unmerited, free gift. Abraham doesn't deserve it. God acts out of his own holiness. Now, there's a word in the Old Testament to describe this. It's one of the five Old Testament words for mercy. That word is Seneca. Whenever God says anywhere in the Bible, "By my own name I swear," that's Seneca. And it's this Old Testament idea. Old Testament God, New Testament God. Don't forget, it's the same God, right? But it's this idea that God says, "I swear by myself. I act this way because I owe it to myself to act this way. It's just who I am, and I never break my word." Now, whenever you see God act in the Bible, it's always a pattern of how he expects us to act. So are there any covenants in our lives that are like that? When we're expected to act unilaterally, just because of the holiness of God's name, there are several covenants in our lives like that. Matrimony is such a covenant. This isn't very popular to say, but we're taking it on what Christ has revealed. I had a woman once upon a time, many years ago, she came into my office, her marriage had fallen apart, she was in tears, and she said to me, "Can I expect to get anything back out of this?" I didn't have the heart to tell her no. But the fact of the matter is that only at a human level can you expect to get anything back. But is that what matrimony is? It's an image on earth of a reality in heaven in which husband loves wife the way Christ loves his church. And that means we're going to be faithful whether the other person is faithful or not. We're going to love whether the other person loves back or not. Why? Because that's the way God is, and that's the way he calls his people to be. Baptism is such a covenant. Baptism, the foundation of our whole lives, our share in the blood of Christ. Can you imagine what kind of a world we'd have, what kind of a church we'd have, if everybody only did to others what others did back to them? I mean, you're going to forgive whether somebody else forgives you or not, right? And you're going to show patience. And you're going to withhold an unkind word. Not because the other person deserves it, but because you're a child of God. And that's the way children of God act. Now, there's three levels of morality. I know I've mentioned this before. But there's three different ways to justify any way that we might decide to act towards another person. The lowest level of morality is, I'll be good to you so that you'll be good to me. That's just reciprocity. It's morality, it's just not very elevated. Take a step up from that, and you can say, I'll be good to you because being good to you is the right thing to do, dagnabbit. It's the kind of world I want to live in. That's acting on principle. It's higher, but it's not as high as you can get. The highest level of morality says, I will be good to you because that's what God does. What's our reference point? God's our reference point. That's where he calls us to live. We keep our eyes on Christ. That's not always easy, is it? Jesus says, beware of false prophets. Do you know how to tell a false prophet? Of course, Jesus says it's because of the fruit, but let's remember what a prophet is. A prophet's not somebody who foretells the future. That's an oracle, you know, the state fair, crystal ball. A prophet isn't someone who foretells the future. A prophet, according to the Bible, is someone who speaks God's message. A prophet says, thus says the Lord. So can a parent be a prophet? Heck yes. When they tell their children, this is wrong, this is right, and God says so, they're acting like a prophet. Can a priest be a prophet? Sure. As long as he's teaching you in accordance with the teachings of the church that we've received down through the ages. But a false prophet is somebody who tells you not to do God's will, but tells you to do your own will, and then says it's what God would want. Take it easy, don't strain yourself, don't put yourself out for anybody else, and for heaven's sake, don't carry a cross. That's the way God would want it. It's a false prophet, and they bear bad fruit. A true prophet asks you to keep your eyes on the Lord and asks you to imitate him no matter what it might cost you. And you look at the lives of the saints and you see the good fruit that it bears. It is the very definition of beauty in this world. Remain in me, Jesus says, and you will bear much fruit. Let's pray to remain in him, to bear fruit that will last.